Talking of mental health, 10th of October is World Mental Health Day, and teams of people from local mental health services are going to be out on the streets of Brighton and Hove raising awareness of what is actually a very taboo subject. Mark Mansbridge and Alison from the Dual Diagnosis Project in Hove join us now. Welcome to Radio Reverb. Mark, let's start off with you. Why do we have a World Mental Health Day in the first place?
Raise awareness about a thing that's sort of everybody's issue. You know, I think in the past people always thought about, you know, well people over there and ill people over here. But you know, mental health is something that affects everybody, you know, and everybody's got a right to good mental health. And one in four people has some sort of mental health support during their lives. So, you know, I think it's the whole idea of it is to really break down some of those old taboos and make sure, you know, there's an awareness about that.
To me, though, there seems to be a contradiction. You say one in four people will have a mental health episode in their lives, but it's still taboo.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, that doesn't compute.
Yeah, it just doesn't make sense. And it's been good recently. Quite a few celebrities have sort of come out, as it were, with you know, their own mental health issues, which has been really positive. And I think it's starting to shift some of the awareness, which is really good. You know, and I like the Mind, the mental health charity, has an idea of a mental health spectrum, which where everybody's on, and at different points in our lives, you know, we're at different ends of the spectrum depending on what's going on for us. So things like bereavement or, you know, breakup of a relationship or whatever, you know, affects everybody at some time. And you know, we can all have a mental health dip, you know. Actually just get us to all think about positive mental health, you know.
Brighton does have more than the national average, or higher than the national average, people with mental health difficulties, doesn't it? I mean, you've mentioned those kind of things that everybody has to face pretty much, you know, breakup of relationships, bereavement. But there must be additional factors that are affecting people in Brighton, or people are coming with additional factors.
Yeah, I think, I mean, partly it's sort of very much linked to exclusion. I think, you know, if you can't get decent accommodation or get a job that pays a decent wage or whatever, you know, it's very easy to sort of start, you know, things can start falling apart, and without sort of that security, you know, it's very easy for things to unravel. And obviously a lot of people as well turn to drink or drugs, you know, to actually support them through crises. And obviously particularly with people on the streets, you know, it's grim, and people are going to sort of you know, reach for anything that helps them through that. So I think, you know, there's a lot of links to, you know, the fact it's a very hard place to actually get decent accommodation for a lot of people.
Doesn't help, does it? No. Alison, you use the Dual Diagnosis Project in Hove. What were your circumstances that led you to the project?
I was working and living in New York, doing quite well. And I got involved with taking cocaine and drinking rather a lot, but I thought it was social. But I stopped the cocaine, started drinking more and more, and in the end I actually had to come back to this country. What really happened over the next few years, that was in 2002, was I kept being ping-ponged between treatments of rehabs for alcohol, or I suffered from anorexia, and which I've had since I was 16. So I've been in either rehabs, detoxes, or eating disorder units. I've never been actually treated as a dual diagnosis person. They've only ever treated me for one or the other. So
right,
obviously, if you get treated for one,
yeah,
the other is going to rear its ugly head. I've always, you know, it's two people almost.
So was it like the other aspects of what was going on with you were being ignored? So you've just been treated,
they
for example, for the
eating disorder? A little bit been included, but it was very secondary. And I honestly felt like I was a hopeless case. After each treatment, I'd come away and I'd, yes, this is it, I can do it. 3 weeks later, I was down the Swanee again. Even though I sort of tried, I never really was treated holistically. I think the project that I was in dealt with me as a whole person. And, you know, I had an eating disorder nurse, and also I had the project itself that dealt with drugs and alcohol, and also being with other people that suffered with dual diagnosis as well helped. And it was almost like, it was like, oh gosh, this can work. You know, I am a whole person.
I can see by the look on your face that you're remembering that, and there was a look of surprise came onto your face.
Well, yes, because I've never really been able to mention both in the same sentence. You know, we don't cover that, or we don't know anything about that, or whichever sort of side it is. Yeah, it's that the project was really good. I mean, this is an example of how they did treat me. Julie was through my nurse. I got weekly weigh-ins and things like that to make sure that my weight didn't drop below a certain account, and it did drop. So I agreed to go into another eating disorder unit to gain weight, and they kept my bed open for me for a month. They let me go away, get back on track and come back, you know, and it was very open-ended, the treatment service there. It wasn't a case of you go in, you spend 8 months here, that's all you've got, bye. You know, it was definitely a step-by-step, and it's very individual. And I was very fortunate enough, when I did leave, I was ready to leave, and they made sure I was ready to leave. They sorted me out or sourced me a house that was a good step-down house for me. I mean, they do have step-down houses for the project itself, but they're mainly for people without so-called dual diagnosis.
So these are houses for people to move into where they, get support, right?
Where they get, a minimum of support, I would say. But they realised, and I realised, that I would need more support. So the house that I'm in now is for actual dual diagnosis, which I find astounding that it is the only house in Brighton that is for that, when there are so many people out there with dual diagnosis, whatever the dual is, you know. And it, but I found it, you know, we have 3 house meetings a week. We can call any time, you know, with any issues. It's a definitely, it's a clean house. We get drug tested, alcohol tested, you know, randomly. We're very well looked after. And it is a step down to actually becoming independent. You know, it's a safe house. And I feel safe in the knowledge that the people that I share the house with are clean and sober, because we get tested.
Right.
You know, there's no question mark.
Yeah.
So it's been a really worthwhile experience. But I do actually believe that all the other sort of rehabs and eating disorder units I've been in before that haven't treated me for both, I think that I was actually ready when I went to the project, whereas perhaps I wouldn't have been ready before. I don't know whether, because I hadn't been given the opportunity, so I'm not sure. But it's been very positive for me, and I've had support.
And going back to the days before you had that help, how were the people around you? We've talked about mental health being a taboo subject. How about the people around you? Were you supported by the people around you, or did you find people were nervous, cautious, scared, uncertain?
I think the people surround me, I didn't have a great network of people, because as I moved back to this country, I've been out of this country working for over 15 years. I had my mother, who was my primary care person, but it's strange, isn't it? It's, if they know you've got a primary care person, you don't get much support out there.
Really?
No. I mean, they would stand back and wait till I got to absolute crisis.
But why should your mother look after you? You're an adult.
I know. But they would. They would wait till absolute crisis, where I'd be fitting all over the place, or I couldn't walk, or, you know, and my mum would be on the phone saying, you know, I don't think she's going to last. And it would get to that before I finally would get help. And it's taken me this long to get the support and help I actually need. So I can understand. I think the issue with mental health also is it's something you can't see. And I think that's what the issue people have with it. You know, it's not such a taboo subject. You can't see it. If someone has cancer, they can say, right, that's cancer. If someone loses a limb, right, I can see that. You know, it's understandable. But I think with mental health, it's not a tangible thing. You know, it's quite complex and it scares people. You know, if you find someone's got schizophrenia, it's like, woo, don't really know what that is. How will they react if I say that? It's a fear. You know, the same with my issues, which is anorexia. People are fearful to say the wrong thing, you know, or do the wrong thing.
Because they don't want to offend.
They don't want to make someone worse, or yes, exactly. They have no understanding. Rather than sitting someone down saying, can you explain this? You know, how would that make you feel, or how does that make you feel? It doesn't come into it.
Do you consider yourself courageous? Because you're speaking very openly here, and we've never actually met before. You know, we're complete strangers, and there are several thousand people listening to this. I mean, I don't want to put you off. do you feel that you're taking a courageous step in speaking so openly?
I feel that it's part of my recovery to at least play some part in promoting what's helped me. You know, and I feel that whatever I can do, I will do to get people the treatment that I've been had the opportunity to receive. But I do believe that people that receive the treatment or get whatever it is they need to want it.
You listen to Radio Reverb 97.2 FM. We're talking to Mark Mansbridge and Alison from the Dual Diagnosis Project in Hove. We're going to be finding out what's happening for World Mental Health Day after Donny Stacks and Achille. Donny Stacks and Achille on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM. We're talking to Mark Mansbridge and Alison from the Dual Diagnosis Project in Hove. Well, World Mental Health Day is the 10th of October and various events happening around Brighton in connection with that. So, Mark, what's actually going to be happening locally? There's a project that your project is involved in.
Yeah, people are all gathering in the Pavilion Gardens tomorrow at around about 11 o'clock and going to be there till 1 o'clock. If the weather's grotty, people are going indoors into the foyer at the Dome, into the big cafe there. And we're going to be sort of accosting passers-by and giving them sort of information about all that positive mental health stuff that we mentioned earlier. And, just publicising the event, you know, and publicising what services are available locally. It's going to be nice and sort of upbeat and sort of friendly gathering, really.
Because it's ongoing. It's not just one day a year, is it?
No, not at all.
World Mental Health Day. And there are ongoing projects that people can take part in.
Yeah.
There was something called a recovery walk a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, that was
ago.
Amazing. There was a couple of thousand people walked through Brighton and
really?
Hove a couple of weeks ago. And they were from all over the country from various projects and individuals came down. And it's people who've sort of conquered addictions. And they were just there to sort of celebrate, you know, how great it feels to have another go at life in a way. And yeah, it was lovely, you know, sort of some of the people from the project went on it and came back absolutely buzzing saying, you know, it was a marvellous, really positive event.
If somebody's listening to this now and they're thinking that they need some help or they would like somebody to talk to or they've got a friend or a relative, what steps should they be taking?
Usually the quickest route to get into services is actually via your GP. So if you have any...
Do GPs understand? Are they understanding and sympathetic? Because we always, you know, we hear how overworked GPs are and don't have time for people. Is that the best way?
I think there's been a bit of a sea change, really. I think, you know, they are much more aware these days and it's much more part of their training. So, you know, they can tap you into services that are available locally. And there's good mental health day centres, you know, and obviously there's teams within the community that can support people at home as well. But, you know, usually the sort of fastest route is actually via GPs.
Alison, you're in recovery now.
Yeah.
Are you making plans for the future or is it very much step by step, day by day?
Bit of both. Take one day at a time. That's my recovery talk. And it is one day at a time. You know, but I can actually make plans for the future now, whereas when I sort of embarked on recovery, I couldn't see any sort of future because I actually didn't care, you know. And what it's given me some form of life. It is long, it is hard, you know, and it isn't overnight and it isn't instantaneous, but it's so worth being in recovery as opposed to being behind closed doors with people not understanding and being absolutely distraught. So it is worth it.
If you had one message for people listening today about mental health, what would you say to people?
Accept it. If you think that, you know, if you think you yourself have difficulties, accept those difficulties, talk about them, you know, seek services, seek advice, go to your GP, go to Mind, you know, find out on the internet, just in any way, shape or form, just get your foot in somewhere and accept the fact that actually you're not feeling right. And I think that's the first thing, is to admit yourself. I had to admit that I wasn't alcohol dependent, I was actually an alcoholic, you know, and that's the first step. really, being open and honest about what your issues are.
Alison and Mark Mansbridge from the Dual Diagnosis Project, thank you very much for joining us on Radio Reverb.
No, thank you.
Thanks very much for your time.
Thanks very much.
This is Sparrow.